Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now we're joined via the Oarsman Fairfax Toyota truck line by our friend Mr. Sam Fortier. He joins me out here in the wind tunnel that is the Ashburn parking lot. Of course, you can follow Sam's work at Sam4TR. Writes for the Washington Post, does a great job. Sammy, what's up, buddy?
Thanks for having me out here. I feel like I should play some defense on your truck afterwards. You chipped a golf ball into it.
That is true. I wasn't going to mention that to Brian because he's going to make fun of me. But
at least you practiced. But I want to know why Sam stood us up yesterday.
Yeah, what's up with that? Hold on. Not only stood us
up. And he doesn't have a song. I guarantee he doesn't have a song today. Like he's
you got any song
no,
lyrics?
I don't have a song. No, B-Mitch is right.
I think you, Mullins, does Sam owe you an apology for just not responding to you via text message?
No. Nobody should respond to me.
Also, I would point out that I have already apologized because after you gave me a hard time yesterday in the annex, I realized that I hadn't responded and I said, hey, that's my bad. If you need me ready this week, let me know. And so he texted me. He said, hey, can you come on tomorrow? I said, yeah.
Stand up, guys, Sammy. We appreciate it. I definitely want to look at this Cowboys matchup this week, but I really liked the story you wrote from last week about the Eagles invasion, for lack of a better word, at FedEx Field. And, dude, as far as Eagles fans invading FedEx, that's not as close to as bad as I've ever seen it. It was the end of the 17 or 18 season. We talked about it earlier in the week, which was overwhelmingly green. But I did want to talk to you about kind of what you learned from that and what do you think it says about this about the Commanders fan base.
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out to me the most is it's not just those big fans of Philly, you know, some of those bigger group Philly sports trips that are bringing like 1,000 people down here. It's like the cornhole league from Lancaster, Pennsylvania that's like, oh, we can't get 50 seats at Lincoln Financial. Like, we're going to come down here because it's just easier for us to hang out together.
Right.
And that to me was kind of crazy. The thing that I've learned maybe that wasn't even in the story, but, you know, talking to fans from last year as well, like, there are certain season ticket holders. The season ticket holders who have held on, they've kind of coalesced into certain groups. Like Section 1010, I talked to some guys there, and, you know, season ticket holders have said, hey, I used to sit in wherever, but, like, we get invaded so often or there's so many opposing fans that I've had to find, like, little pockets of diehards who've hung on.
It's crazy because I've said this throughout, sadly, what I think – is fair to say kind of the demise of the fan base, which is far from dead, but it's not thriving like it once was, that the fans that show up, especially the fans that show up week after week, are spirited and ready to support their team, but it's just a losing number. It's just like, it's eroding. You know what I mean? It's sand at the beach getting washed away. And I think it's great that you can highlight the pockets where there are really good fans, because there are, and I know a ton of them personally, but they're just swimming upstream.
Yeah, and I would say, like, there's a, like, people that study fandom in sports and otherwise, there's this phrase called, like, cutting off reflected failure, or CORFing, And it's basically like...
Corfing sounds like something we're not allowed to say on the radio.
But it's this thing...
I heard Cody was corfing last weekend.
It's this concept where, like, you are almost less attached to the fans, or less attached to the thing that you're cheering for, and more attached to the fans that you do it with, right? Like, how many people are going out there week to week, where it's just like, that's my tailgate. Those are my guys.
It's a part of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
You look forward to hanging out with your friends more than you do look for the game. But I think when we try to look at this thing, we look at, you know, certain things. It's not one thing. It's a culmination of things for multiple years that makes people say, to hell with it. And those that still go, at least that's something that they could do getting out the house and hanging with their friends is better than just staying at home looking at a TV.
Exactly. What one fan, Carl, put it to me, the best time to be at Commanders games, Skins games, between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. or 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Before the game starts.
Tailgate's always fun. And that's why even that Eagles game, and I made a point of saying this, that by halftime it felt about 80-20 Eagles fans. But at kickoff, like being down on the field, especially you know, minutes before kickoff, you see the stands from like a different perspective. There were plenty of Commanders fans ready to cheer, and then it's 24-0 and there's nothing to cheer for. And it's like, might as well beat traffic, you know? And it's such a dispiriting place. I understand why the organization allowed it, but by selling single game tickets, you set yourself up for these sorts of invasions. And I don't know that you found this in your research, but I know in the past, personally, from my reporting, that the organization has embraced ticket brokers and selling big blocks of tickets to out-of-town fans. And I hate it, but I understand the business aspect of it. And moving this forward, we're going to talk Cowboys here in a second. But, like, if this Cowboys game goes the way many expect it to, week five with Tennessee coming to town, I think could be pretty damn empty.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. And to your point,
Tennessee ain't a brand that's going to fill anything up.
Right.
You know?
I mean, Jason kind of talked about this before the year. There's no marquee quarterbacks. You don't have a Mahomes and Brady and, you know, some of those guys on the schedule. But to your point about selling a ton of single game tickets, last year in doing a story about, you know, kind of the decline of the attendance, Jason Wright saying that that's not a lack of support, that's just them reporting the numbers more accurately. A team spokesperson told me that they've consolidated and reduced those sales. So take that for what it's worth.
And they've also reduced prices to try to get more people in
right
there. And I'm not knocking the strategies. They're trying to get people in to embrace a new brand. It's just your climbing uphill.
He said it's not because of a lack of support.
Jason Wright, yeah. But, he said it's not a lack of support. They just were now reporting the numbers more accurately.
That was last year. All right.
I don't know, man. We know the stadium is holding 97,000. They drop it down to 65 or whatever, and it's still not full.
Correct.
So that's the lack of support.
Now let's the text thread just made me laugh. Let's talk some football. We're talking with our friend Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam4TR. Let's go big picture, and then we're going to zoom in specifically to the matchup that I think is of most importance, which is a banged-up Washington O-line against a surging Dallas D-line. Big picture, though, every week we do a segment on the power rankings. And power rankings are inherently subjective, right? But we use the same set of them every week to try to have some consistency. And we go with NFL.com because we like to think that the league website's going to be the least kind of hot takey of all these, right? So NFL.com... yesterday, when they put out their new batch of power rankings, has the Commanders 30th in the NFL. Third to last team, only ahead of the Jets and the Texans. We are very close to this. We watch training camp and we convince ourselves that William Jackson III is about to have a monster year. I've always referred to it as in the beat bubble, where the Ashburn syndrome can take on a life of its own. Taking a step out of that, seeing this team 30th out of 32, does it seem fair?
That, to me, even being in the bubble, seems a little bit overreactionary just because we've seen promise from them. It's been a lot of ineptitude recently, probably three out of the last four halves. But in that first game, I think you saw this offense do what it could do if Carson's making quick decisions, if the line's giving him time. And the defense obviously has shown a little bit of promise. Obviously, there were, you know, big mistakes in that second quarter. But to me, it's not like this is a bottoming out team or a team that has, you know, young players with a long way to go. to me, 30 seems reactionary. But if you said, hey, they're in the bottom quarter, they're in the bottom third, I would be like, yeah, that's probably where they are right now.
But well, the question I would ask is, if they're not 30, what do you two think they are? Because if you're not going to tell me they're top 12, then I'm not happy. Because if they're 28, they're still horrible. If they're 25, I'm not happy. I mean, it's like the expectations of things. When we go into offseason with a mindset and say we're going to fix some things, and then we come out with the team we have, and then we're still around 20-something or 30, whatever you want to call it, it still means failure as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's what you got to start looking at more. Instead of us trying to, like, say the other people are wrong, where are they to make us happy?
I totally agree with that. I think, like, I would say probably 24th, 25th is probably maybe more accurate, but that's a minor quibble. Yeah, like, they should be top 12. They should be, after the training camp we saw, after the building that they've done, they should be in the upper half. So for us to say, oh, maybe 30th isn't right, maybe it's 24th, I get that that's minor and that's not addressing the real problem, is that this team just should be better, period.
So yeah. What do you say in year three of the Rivera era, where he's put the pressure on himself? It's not us. He said, we've got to make a jump. Year three, that's what this is about. We're building towards this. Do you think there's a jump coming? And maybe it just hasn't – things just oddly have broken wrong the first three games, or especially the last two games. And Ron's teams do have a historic track record of getting better as the season progresses. Do you think that is coming?
Yeah, I do. I don't know how big the jump is going to be. Like to me, what this feels like is it's setting up for what we saw in 2020 and 2021, which is, hey, they're going to start slow, but they're going to make a push toward the end. And if, like, multiple things break right, they could maybe sneak in that last wild card seed, or maybe, you know, sixth seed or whatever. But, like, this doesn't feel like – and Ron Rivera's teams, except for 2015, have never been that way, where they jump out to a, you know, a good start, and then they ride that all the way to the postseason. That's just never been who this is.
But the thing I asked about that, and JP and I talk about that a lot, Sam, why is that a thing? And people go, oh, the teams plays better in the second half. Go look at the first half of the season that they play. That is nothing to be really happy about. My question would be, why can't they get it going? You said one time they started fast and kept it. Why can't they get it going in the first half of the season? Other teams do. And it's normally the teams you're competing against at a high level.
For this to be a pattern in the way that it is, I mean, there has to be I'm not aware if there are similar certain situations like this in Carolina, but to me, last year, it took you 6 weeks to move Landon Collins from the safety role, when I think everybody saw, hey, that's maybe not where he's best suited, or his skill set doesn't move there anymore. And I'm not saying that was the entire reason. I think, you know, losing Ryan Fitzpatrick early is a big part of that. But to me, the slow to adjust, you know, kind of the amount of time it takes you to calibrate your team and figure out the best way to use these guys, that would suggest to me that's maybe systemic.
The refusal to get aggressive and try to bring pressure until Chase went down.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't getting pressure. I recognize the draft picks and the capital spent on that D-line, but it wasn't generating what it needed to generate. And I don't know, do you feel like you've been covering this team now, I think most of Ron's tenure here, is this the hottest the temperature's ever gotten around him?
To me, when the press conferences on Sunday and Monday, when he, you know, said, hey, we're young, we're building, we're getting there, we're making progress, and for him to get fired up about the ESPN report about Jimmy G, that was maybe the most upset I've seen the fan base. I've covered, you know, all two-plus years of Ron now, and I think that was the most upset I've seen the fan base personally.
With this group, I would say yes. You agree, B?
Yeah.
People seem the most frustrated now than they've been.
People were listening because at first he came in and he sounded more like a philosopher, and they were like, okay, something new, and this guy's smart. Now they're starting to look at it as the same stuff he's been saying, and they're looking at it now, I think, more as excuses, not solutions. You know what I'm saying? When you keep hearing someone say the same type of stuff, because we are stuck in that you start winning around 3 years, then the third year you expect different. Well, we're hearing the same stuff we heard the first 2 years. So where's the difference?
It's a great question. So we're talking with our friend Sam Fortier from the Washington Post, covers Commanders, does a really good job. Let's dive in specific to this Cowboys matchup this weekend. It doesn't take Sir Isaac Newton to recognize that Dallas comes in with the best pass rush in the NFL, and the Commanders come in giving up the most sacks in the NFL. Now, the Commanders' stats perhaps are skewed by giving up 9 last week to the Eagles. 9. But look at Dallas's pressure rate. Like, you don't have to look at just sacks. Look at their pressure rate. They generated 23 pressures last week against Daniel Jones, who's a good athlete, who can move. And I think through 3 games, you could argue that Giants' offensive line is better than what we're seeing here in Ashburn. I have major problems with the roster construction, specifically at the offensive line, but kind of doesn't matter now because this is what you got. Start there, which seems like an obvious deficiency for Washington. Tell me where maybe they have some advantages. What does a path to winning this game look like?
I think it looks a lot like week one against Jacksonville when Carson was taking a ton of short throws, letting the guys pick up yards after catch, Curtis Samuel, some of the running backs. And I think that is a way that you can counteract, it's particularly a good pass rush. And I would say the biggest concern for me from last week is not just the 9 sacks. 7 of those 9 sacks came when the Eagles rushed 4.
4 men.
Yeah. Like they didn't need to blitz. And so to me, if you're going to allow the Cowboys to do that sort of deal, that's going to make it really, really tough. So I think you got to make quick decisions, get the ball out of your hand, and let your playmakers create, because Carson holding on to the ball, as we've seen, is a difficult proposition.
See, that's the question I ask. Like we're talking about the quick game. If they can apply pressure with just 4, they have 7 more people, and then they know who you like to get the ball into the hands of, that 7 extra can combat kind of the quick game.
They can play the shallow zone.
Because normally the quick game works better when you're blitzing. 5 people come in, 6, 7, that type of thing where you could. But if you got 4 people and you could get the pressure consistently, that quick game, some of those passes can go the other way if somebody jump it.
And I would also say, like, sometimes the Commanders, I think, allowed a sack or at least a pressure when they max protected. They had 7 in, and the Eagles rushed 4 because when the Commanders have those 2 tight ends lined up, Logan Paulson made this point the other day, teams know you're going to throw. So they fake the pressure at him, and actually the guy dropped, I think Brandon Graham dropped back, so the 2 tight ends were blocking nobody.
Mm. Man. I do think running the ball this week could help a lot, like a true commitment to the run. I'd get Jonathan Williams a few more carries. I think he gives you a power element you don't have elsewhere. Obviously, Brian Robinson was supposed to have a big role. He's still on IR. There's not much you can do about that. I do think defensively, though, and it's astonishing to say this when you were down 24-0 at halftime and gave up a 150 to Devontae Smith, I do think maybe defensively there were some steps forward in the Eagles game. They held them scoreless in 3 out of 4 quarters, and Cooper Rush gets the ball out really quick. I think Cooper Rush looks like a really solid backup quarterback. Obviously, Dallas has weapons in Pollard and Lamb and Zeke to some extent. Defensively, do you think they could keep them in it this week and try to just muck this thing up?
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys obviously have talent, but I don't think they have playmakers to consistently make the Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown level of athletic catches that we saw last week. And I would go back, I think, to your point about the offense. I know that Antonio Gibson is not the toughest runner up the middle or the most physical guy, but he did those things last year. Is it necessary for Jonathan Williams? I know Brian Robinson might be more of that guy, but is he just not that guy? Because he was last year at times.
I think it's just a change of pace thing, honestly. I think you're right. At times, Gibson has been that. And I think Gibson has been pretty good so far this season. We haven't seen any fumbles. That's a huge part of it. But when the fumble started to emerge was generally when he's trying to grind out tough yards and he doesn't protect the ball as much. And I think Williams has that mindset. But it's a fair counter. Maybe you just give it to Gibson. I mean, when they did win games last year, when they went on that 4-game win streak, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would bet Gibson was over 18 carries in all 4 of those games, and maybe even more so. It's tough for me to reconcile a team that doesn't have an identity, that I think if Ron got to pick his identity, it would be tough-nosed, win at the line of scrimmage, be able to hit some play-action stuff deep, right?
Yes.
And I don't know they can win at either line of scrimmage this weekend. And that to me is the biggest concern. And I'm not coming at that from some out of space theory. They haven't won the line of scrimmage the past 2 weeks. And I think the Dallas defensive line is better than both they faced the last couple weeks. And maybe Washington's defensive line is ready for a big performance. Maybe Montez Sweat is ready for a breakout. I don't know. They've got to generate a ton of pressure on Cooper Rush. Do you think they're going to be able to?
I mean, there's not a major body of evidence to say, yes, they will absolutely be able to generate a ton of pressure against Cooper Rush, especially if they're just rushing four. And so, I mean, I think that they do a pretty good job of generating pressure, especially when they blitz defensive backs. I think Jamin Davis has been a pretty good blitzer.
They may be figuring out a role for Jamin, which is good news.
Mm-hmm. Right. But are we for sure that that will happen? No, I don't think you can say that.
The question I would ask is this, okay? I've used this example, too, by saying that Philly didn't score in three quarters. But remember, it was 24-0 in the third quarter. It was 24-0 at a point in the fourth quarter. Was Philly still as aggressive as they were when they made it 24-0?
Same with Detroit.
We're giving the defense all that credit, but we know how the NFL teams do. They pull off. If it was college, they'd have put 55, 60 on them. But the NFL always pulls back a little bit. Could that be a part of why the 0-0 in the second half happened?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, they ran the ball a lot more. And to your point, that's something that if they're in college, that probably doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Sammy, thank you for the time, buddy. I know you got to get out to the field there, and we appreciate it. Everybody give him a follow at
Sam4TR.
Keep up the good work, dude.
Of course. Thanks for having me. And next time, B. Mitch, I'm going to have a song for you.
Uh-oh. All right. Dropping bars.
Going on Monday.
Knuckle Up Records. Then maybe we should sign Sam to Knuckle Up Records. We'll have to see. We'll have to see if he can bring the edge.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. Maybe we open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you need to see in Dallas to believe in this organization? Don't go anywhere. You listen to B. Mitch.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, 11:30 in the District of Columbia. We're going to open these damn phone lines. How do you beat Dallas, and what could it change going forward? I think we're at a point where things need to change out here.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to get fans to buy back in. Let's start with my guy Lou in Silver Spring. Lou, how do you beat Dallas, and what will it change going forward?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, for me right now, I think beating Dallas doesn't change anything going forward. You're supposed to beat an average team with their backup quarterback. Who wouldn't be able to do that? So I don't know. For me, you know, this team, this organization has been a whole lot of uns. Unprepared, uninspired, unprofessional, unacceptable. And I've really put all of this pretty much on Ron. You know, it seems like we miss on drafts. We're missing on big free agent signings. And the message is just stale. You know, Ron has been an average coach. He had success on you know, the backs of some super athletes like Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly. But other than that, he's extremely average. And you know, to me, I don't see how we even get to seven or eight wins this year. So I don't know. You know, for me, I think change is so necessary at this point. I just think his message is stale. It's uninspired. And he's the man that is at the helm that has put all of these pieces in place. You patchwork the O-line. You hire all your friends, everybody you know from Carolina and your past jobs, instead of really putting work in and you know, just getting the right people for the job. You know, so for me, I don't know. I think beating Dallas with a backup quarterback does absolutely nothing for me at this point. And I really think it's time for some change. But thanks, guys.
All right, brother.
Wow. Thank you for the call. B, that's strong, man.
Yes, I mean, it is.
That is strong, dude.
And, but I think people, a lot of people are starting to get those stronger opinions. And I think, you know, we sit here and – We you know, I've asked questions about, like, I've asked you questions like, okay, we hear the reputation of how much he's liked around Then when you start preparing his winning percentage to a lot of people, you will go, okay, well, why does he get so much love? Because there are people with better winning percentages that aren't liked as much and aren't won't be offered. So you wonder what are owners looking for real? Are they looking for likability, or are they looking for somebody going to have me with a lot of success? Because I think fans at this point in this town, in this area, they want to win. They don't care about how much a person is like. They want to win.
Well, I think also, B, when they hired Ron, fans were so ready to have Bruce gone.
Yeah.
That they were just so excited to have somebody new come in. And listen, you can like or not like Ron, and you can point to his successes in Carolina, and you can point to the failures in Carolina, but he's undeniably a real football person. Bruce wasn't even that, right? Like, Bruce was a cartoon character masquerading as a football guy.
But once you come in as a football person, people don't care that you are considered a football person. They care that you bring success with being a football person. And once when you're not successful, they start thinking you're not a football person.
Well, dude, so you had the excitement just to bring in Ron. They could have hired Cody Betts. People were just so happy Bruce was out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had everything change with the organization. You lose the name, the incredible series of investigations and allegations start coming out. COVID hits. Like, it's just been so much turmoil that now, in a way, it's like fans are like all of a sudden – coming up for air after what has been just such a crazy few years with the team, and they're like, wait a second, we still kind of suck? Like,
yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
That's the question that's being asked.
My guy JNate1906 on Twitter says, fans are tired of just sneaking into the playoffs. That's not what this franchise is about. That shouldn't be the bar. If it is, people got to go. Slow starts shouldn't be okay. We are seeing teams do a complete 180 in 2 years. Bengals, Lions, Jags are a few examples. The Bengals, I kind of would say, is a one-off because they got Joe Burrow, and I think he's a terrific quarterback. But the Jags, all of a sudden with Trevor Lawrence, look like they're turning around. The Lions, I'm not exactly convinced that the Lions are a playoff team, but they play hard as hell. You can't take that away from them. I think, and dude, this is hindsight, right? Hindsight's always 20-20, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The decision to draft Chase Young, which I completely thought was correct at the time, and you can't really compare it because they had just drafted Dwayne Haskins, and at that point in time, you had to try to develop Haskins. But I do wonder if for Ron now, if he could look back on that 2020 draft and know certainly what Herbert has become, but even what Tua is showing in Miami, how much differently he would want to do things. And whatever, you can't change the past. That's why it's the past.
And I think when you look at that type of thing, I look at one quarterback becoming different in another franchise doesn't automatically mean he was going to become that person in this franchise.
Dude, my wife's told me that. Last year, I remember talking to her. We were, I don't know, maybe I was just doing some work at home or something. And we were talking about Herbert. And she's like, yeah, but here's the thing. Nothing ever works out in D.C. So who knows, even if they drafted Justin Herbert, if it would have worked for him.
Hmm.
And I was like, damn, babe. That's
your wife is a smart woman,
pretty
dude.
Savvy assessment.
God, she's smart. I don't know what the hell she's doing with you, though.
I'm good looking. Let's go to Robert in Charlotte. Robert is on the MGM National Harbor Listening Lines. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. You guys have an awesome show. I got you guys streaming all the time, so keep doing what you're doing. I love it.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Absolutely. But want to say what a win against Dallas means on Sunday for me and how we do it. I think the biggest thing for me watching this team throughout the last few years in Ron's tenure is hardly ever can we come out and just control the narrative of a game and just get the other team off of their game plan. I mean, it seems like we're always on our heels, always in reactive mode, always finding ourselves down 7-0 after the first drive or whatever the case may be. Lately, it's been 20-plus-0, but I just want to see us, like, let's get in the receiver's face on defense, bump them at the line of scrimmage, get them off their routes, we have to control the trenches, like B. Mitch says. But, like, I mean, even throughout Ron's tenure against the Falcons last year, you can't tell me on defense we couldn't have controlled that line of scrimmage. And Matt Ryan was moving the ball on us, like, at will. I mean, there's been times where in the trenches we can definitely control the narrative, but we don't. And I don't know if it's a defensive scheme, whatever the case may be, but I would love for us just to come out and dominate a backup quarterback. That's what I would love to see. Thanks, guys.
All right, bro.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, they could really use it. They could really use to come out and dominate a backup quarterback.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to take phone lines until the top of the hour, so don't worry. We're going to sneak one more in right now. Let's go to Ben is in Bethesda. What's up, Benny?
Hey, guys. If I can, I'm going to be a little optimistic here. I think
– You can.
I think encouraged. I think the Cowboys aren't that good. They got a backup quarterback. They got some good pass rushers. I think if we can kind of – not double team, but kind of shadow, you know, CeeDee Lamb, have a second guy kind of bracketing or whatever. And if the O-line can play inspired, I think we're the better team. I mean, there's a reason why you got, well, maybe not Brian, but you and Grant and some of the people, you know, I've heard are picking 8, 9, 10 wins. And, I mean, we got good talent on the team. I think we can definitely beat the Cowboys. But on the other hand, if we lose to the Cowboys, by 1 o'clock on Sunday are not going to be watching the Commanders. I love football, but we gotta do what we gotta do, and like this is a big game. So let's go, boys. Get her done. O-line, I wanna see some heart out there. All right, thanks guys.
Hi, man. You know, I love people, when people say, well, they got a backup quarterback and we're this, we're that, and we can beat them if. They can beat us if their backup quarterback play like he's been playing too. If you need that many ifs to say you can beat a backup quarterback, then you're basically saying that you don't think your team is as good as you're trying to make them out to be.
Well, B, if I watched last week, I always bring up my colorblind guy, right? Mm-hmm. If there was a colorblind fella watching last week and there was no markings on the helmets, who would that guy think was a backup quarterback?
Hmm.
right? You had one guy. You had one guy scared to throw the ball, couldn't get past the line of scrimmage. I mean, yeesh, I don't know. I want to agree with the optimism of Ben and Bethesda, and it is far too early to determine that something is over. Nothing's over. There's a lot of football left. I'd also like to point out that Pete Haley almost killed me when he pulled in the parking lot. One more call. Tim is in D.C. Timmy, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, fellas. You know, I just want to say
Tim, your phone's going to hurt you. Landfill, put him on hold. We'll start with Tim when we come back.
Tim, we need
we're
going to
keep the phone lines going.
Get in a good spot so that phone can work, man.
It also appears Rev T is on the line, so buckle up, world. Don't go anywhere. It's B-Mitch.
Buckle up, buttercup.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
B-Mitch, I just stuck 260 degrees. Look pretty good. Phone lines are lit up. What can change for this organization if they beat Dallas? How do they beat Dallas? Let's go to James on line two.
Let's go to Jimmy. James.
Jimmy, how much
Hi,
better
Dad.
Can this get?
I just wanted to tell you that things could change when you beat Dallas because it gives you momentum, even if it's a little bit. But when you beat an arch rival, it gives you that fire that you sorely lack. And it could actually give you something to work towards going to the future to change your season and start winning more games. So I think things could change. It could also change your confidence level. Like I said, your momentum. It could change your overall outlook on the season. So I think positive things could happen.
All right, man.
Keep the positivity train rolling. Let's go to Craig in Woodbridge. He might be on a different train. What's up, Craig?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, sir?
There was somebody on there yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, the players, they just need to get their stuff together, and we need to be able to get the talent out of them that we thought we were going to get. And I think that all comes down to game planning and the coaches and the coordinators. They cannot – there's some lack of communication, or those guys just can't do it. There's – somebody's got to put them young kids – in a spot to where they can learn from these people. And if they're not able to do that, if they're not able to teach, nobody's going to learn. It's going to be the same all year round.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thanks for the call, man.
I think it was that somebody was a dude named B. Mitch.
Yeah, it sounds like a dude named B. Mitch.
I say we got to get out of the players we thought. And a lot of times it takes the coach to help pull it out. The player have it in them. But at this level, sometimes, and it's not drastic, but that coach has to be able to find, like he said, scheme it up or be able to pull out of you what you have in you.
I mean, something's got to happen, man. Like, either the scheme has to get better or the players have to get better, because the problem is one side can't blame the other when the coaches are the evaluators.
There you go.
You know? Tim is back. Tim's phone was bad, but maybe it's better. Let's try Tim.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing, man? I'm sorry about that. I was going into the garage.
All right. Good. We hear you now, bud.
Okay. Hey, you know, it's not too much I can add that hasn't been said, but I just think we have to do something, you know, change our philosophy up, man. We got to do something different. We can't be so predictable. You know, we got to start going down the field. Actually, you know, we need some balance on the offense. First of all, we need to incorporate the run more, and, you know, which is going to help the passing game. On defense, we need to definitely, you know, throw some more blitzes at Cooper Rush, man. I mean, just do something different. We have to play better situational football, man, and it's not happening. Every weekend we get an out coach, man. It's horrible, man. And, you know, until the coaches take some ownership on, you know, this team and the schemes that they run it, we're going to have the same thing every weekend, because they blame it on the players. But guess what? The coaches are the ones who are putting these schemes together. So, and I would like for somebody to ask Ron Rivera, why haven't they addressed the linebacker situation? That's crucial, man, especially in the NFL. That is so crucial. They both, like I said, they both were linebackers, and Rivera played with the 85 Bears. So I need to hear that answer, because they haven't addressed it in 3 years. Wow. All right, fellas, I appreciate y'all taking my call, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, man.
Thanks very much, Tim. I mean, they've complained about it a lot, but they sure haven't done much to change it.
Let me tell you this. If I were to become a coach, you're going to find I'm going to have a badass running back on my team. I'm going to have a badass kick and punt return on my team. I'm not going to downplay those positions, because although everybody else try to make you think they're not good, they're important if you got the right people. Believe me.
We're going to take two more calls. We'll go to Alton in Richmond right now. Alton, what up, man?
What's up, man? How y'all doing? I'm calling because I just want to know two things, and I know you and B-Bitch can answer. Furthermore, when we had the COVID year, and was no fans in the stadium, what happened to that type of defense? Because we got the same defensive coordinator, and I don't understand why the scheme will change. If it was working when no fans was in the stadium, shouldn't it have been working with fans in the stadium? And then another thing, I think that Ron Rivera got too much on his plate. He's trying to handle too much. He needed to step back and just be a coach, hire the right offensive coordinator and everything like that, because Scott Turner, he gets a little happy with it. We go down the field. Then all of a sudden, now we go down the field, he wants to do a little razzle-dazzle with one of the receivers. The receivers are not made to be running backs. They're made to catch the ball down the field.
All right, man.
Thank you for the call, Alton. You're not wrong. We saw the defense in 2020, and we see them now. And they're largely the same group, but it's not the same level of performance.
Yep.
Let's close this batch of phone lines. JP. Well, this won't be troubling. Our friend Rev T is on the line.
Rev.
I feel like we could use some love in the air. Rev T, what up?
CJP Finley, B. Mitch and my 106.7 The Fan family. Oh, my Commander family. Oh, your minds is worried and your hearts is, yay, a little bit troubled about what happened with the Eagles. But I'm here to tell you, you didn't have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and here it is Thursday in this Dallas week. There ain't no more complaining. You got to understand, it ain't about Coach McVeigh. It ain't about Dan Snyder. But what it's about is uplifting these players right now. And if you a real fan of the Burgundy Gold, you just hate Dallas. You don't care who the players is. You don't care who the coaches is. You don't care who the damn quarterback is. You hate Dallas. So right now, from this day forth, from this time forth, I tell it to the young. I tell it to the old. You got to believe in the Burgundy Gold. I ain't too happy right now. I got all reason not to be happy. But guess what, J.P. Finley? I believe. J.P., do you believe? B. Mitch, do you believe? 12th man, do you believe? Because in the final minutes and in the final hours, I'm going to stand. You going to stand. And we all going to stand and say, hell to the Commanders. The mighty Commanders. Y'all know who this is. the people's hype man, and DC hype man. Say it with me, y'all. Red T. Believe, believe, believe. Watch with me.
Watch with me.
Love somebody.
Love somebody.
Let's go.
Thank you, Rev. Rev, you ask if I believe. I believe in your passion, sir. I believe your passion could power an 18-wheeler.
I wish the people working on it that can really go out and win the game had his passion. That's what I wish.
I believe in Rev T. I know that much. I don't know what else I believe in, but I believe in Rev T.
Yep.
When we return, Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Bobby Belt is a friend of mine. Bobby Belt probably thinks the Cowboys are going to kick the Commanders' ass. Let's find out why when we return.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.